In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 12, that while we are cracked vessels, cracked pots, while we are easily jars of clay, we hold this gospel ministry, this treasure, and He is the one that will keep us from cracking too soon or be thrown away. Let us read what God does and where our hope is. Our hope is not in the strength of the clay, but in the potter. Let us read together 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 12. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is in work within us, but because we hold the gospel, life in you. Do you remember what the Corinthians were wanting? Why they came around these false apostles that dressed nice and had great smooth words? The Corinthians wanted a pastor who was beaming and beautiful. But what God gave them was one who was beaten and battered. Because the ones that are beaming and beautiful don't show off. They're covered. It's not clear. The ones that are beaming and beautiful, you look at their decoration and you can't see the life-giving power that's inside. But when it's broken and battered and has cracks and you can see it's clear, then you see what you need on the inside. Paul was gladly to take the difficulties that he faced. He was afflicted. It means that he was crushed under the pressures of life and ministry. He was perplexed at times because he had the difficulties of the church. He didn't know which way to turn. He didn't know where the needs were going to come for the next day. He didn't know how to be able to help that person. In himself, he was overwhelmed. He was perplexed. He was persecuted. He was literally hunted down for his life. He was pursued with the hostility to the purpose to destroy. You remember he had to be let down out of the city walls and baskets so no one could come and kill him. He was struck down. He was knocked down to cause pain and injury with his beatings and with the 39 lashes over and over again. But let me read to you what Pastor John MacArthur says about God being the one who protected him in this. It couldn't be him. The story to the world, it wasn't Paul being a strong steel vessel. The world could see that he was bruised and battered. He was a clay pot that was cracked. So the world said, it can't be him. It must be God. There's no human who's going to take that kind of abuse in his own strength, that kind of onslaught in his own resources, and still maintain his joy, maintain his peace, and keep preaching the message faithfully. Viewed as a whole, then, the hardships that Paul lists, he's listed again and again. We keep reading this list of catalog of hardships. Every time I read a new one, it's a new list. Paul lists this catalog, as it were, that caused cracks in him as an earthenware vessel, that the vessel itself might remain intact. The vessel is held together by the power of divine adhesive, so that the light shines through the cracks and is not other than the life of Jesus. Brothers, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. But the word in the Greek is literally, I am continually being made a corpse. Our brother, as he opened the message today from Colossians, you know, I take that box that's stinky, and I remember giving that box to Jesus, and he took it, and he covered it, and he destroyed it, and it was gone. What happened the next day? I found some wood, and I found some nails, and I started making a new box, and I found a better hiding place, and I put more stinky stuff in it, and I had to die again. And Jesus spoke to my heart and said, Oh yeah, that old box is gone, but look at this new one you made. Let's take care of that one. So I had to die again from my own desires and give it to him again. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified and keep on dying. It says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me, that the life I now live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the only way to continue, brothers. We have to look to Jesus. The mercy. Remember, Paul remembered the mercy. That's what kept him. He loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, I can die. And I die to myself, so I'm not being raised up. So I love God and I love my neighbor. But that won't happen if I'm not dying. Doesn't happen with my wife if I'm not dying, because I love me. I want my wife to serve me. And if I'm not dying, I want God to serve me. Oh, God, I want this. Oh, God, yeah, give me that. Oh, God, yeah, baby, I want that. Instead of saying, oh, God, you've promised me daily bread. May I have my daily bread? Oh, God, you promised you would help me not with temptation today. Would you help me with that? Oh, God, would you fulfill your promise that you said you would give me? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. That's exactly what you promised. Next, New Covenant ministers, men who have the gospel. The way they keep going is looking to the power of the risen one who must keep the jar of clay from being cracked, crushed, and destroyed. That's what he tells us next. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13 to 15. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe, so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also with Jesus raise us with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is for your sake, so that his grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. He starts off by quoting Psalm 116. And when the writer of the New Testament will quote the psalm, he'll take a little place, but we can go back and it's a picture of the whole psalm. And so we can't go back and look at all of Psalm 116. I would encourage you to go back and look at it so you understand what he says. I'll just read two verses out of that because he's talking about the hope that the psalmist found, that the pastor can. In 116, 5 to 7, it says this, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. And that he's saying the same thing that Paul did. That's what sustained Paul. Not his strength, but God's mercy. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. Oh, man, am I thankful for that. I'm simple. We're jars of clay. If he doesn't preserve the simple, how are we going to make it? How he preserves simple jars of clay. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. So he quotes that God has kept the saints through the years that were jars of clay who've gone before us that have rested in him. And he says, now look, you don't have power. The jar of clay has nothing to keep itself together. But he says, look to the risen Jesus who will raise you one day. It's interesting because indeed, the Old Testament saints spoke to Jesus too. And in their difficulty, you can either give up. That's the temptation when you're ready to lose heart, right? To give up and say, enough. I'm going to a different calling. And the first book of the Bible, not Genesis, but what do some scholars think the first book of the Bible written was? Anybody know? Job. Man, there was a guy who had his best life now. Right? Hello? Was Job's life great? Was it easy? It was terrible! Well, it was good at first, right? And God brought difficulties in his life like he brought with Paul, correct? Right? That's a time to lose heart. You lose all your cattle, all your houses, all your family except your wife, right? And so as Job is sitting in the dust and ashes, covered with boils from head, the top of his head, how does it describe it? The top of his head to his what? The bottom of his feet. He couldn't get away from him. And he was sitting in a fire with a piece of, maybe it was a pasture, it was a piece of earthenware, scraping the boils. Right? That was the only way he could find relief. He must have been ready to lose heart. Right? Man of God. And yet ready to lose heart. And that's what happens with some people. Remember what his wife told him? Job 2:9. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and..." Thanks, Mrs. Job. Thanks for that message. And there's times in the ministry where I felt like that. God, you don't care for me. It's like the disciples in the midst of the storm, right? They came up to Jesus. Jesus is sleeping. Don't you care, Lord? Right? We're in the fire, scraping our boils, feeling sorry for ourselves, right? And there's a lot of people who just say, curse God and die. Just give up. But notice in the Old Testament where Job looked. Because in Job 19 and 25 and 26, he knew where his help come, because he said this, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last I will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God." And brothers, unless you keep your eyes on the risen Lord, the difficulties and trials sometimes in the ministry, it is filled with wondrous blessings. What a blessing it is to be able to bring to people the Word of Life, the ministry of reconciliation, forgiveness, and eternal life to ones that are to die. But because you and I are made as jars of clay, there are times when we want to lose heart, that we are ready to give up, and we are being tempted to that. As jars of clay in the ministry, you will be crushed and driven to despair like Mrs. Job, unless you continually look to God, who has promised through Christ to raise you up and bring you into His presence. Now look what our brother tells us at the end, 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. He tells you what kept him from losing heart. And as we keep cataloging, making lists of the difficulties that he had in ministry, you and I would have given up a long time ago. But we notice what keeps him. And brothers, this is what will keep you. Let's look together. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. So we do not lose heart. So we do not lose heart. Isn't that good? After we hear all that about our brother, he did not lose heart. He was not crushed as a jar of clay. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are seen are eternal. When Paul talks about losing heart, he's not talking about being depressed so much. To lose heart, what he's talking about, is associated with ministry. When you're overcome by fear and the difficulties and you're ready to surrender. Let me read you just one more time another catalog from Paul. He's not afraid to list these because they show that he is weak and God is strong. 1 Corinthians 4:11 to 13. To the present hour we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. We labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We become as are still like the scum of the world. The refuse of all things. The excrement of the world.
the jars of clay of the world.
But brothers, anything that you and I are facing compared to eternity are light. The scripture would talk about it being like a feather. The scripture would talk about, remember the prophet talks about all the nations and how much they weigh, and all the nations with our flags and our politicians. If we put them all together on a scale, God's scale, he said they would take the scale and how would they move it? How would all the nations, if we put them on one side of the scale, how would they move it? They wouldn't. Because God says in Isaiah that they are like a piece of dust on the scale. And he says that while he recognizes our difficulties, he says the only way that you'll get through them is remember that this is not your best life now. The one is coming that is eternal. This is a few years. Even if you live to be 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 or even 100. I had a man in my one congregation that died at 104. But that is nothing compared to eternity. How many of you know about Robert Clouch? Anybody know about Robert Clouch? Never heard of Robert Clouch? Oh my. Well, I wouldn't have expected you to. Robert Clouch was a man I met in Texas. When I met Robert, he was a broken man. Outwardly, he was a broken shell. Having suffered over his life the bitter effects of a bad divorce, years of drunkenness, and now he had a disease called muscular dystrophy, so that he had to lay in bed all day long. He had to be fed. He had to have his diapers changed. He had to be turned over so he wouldn't get sores that would get infected and kill him. He could hardly breathe. But Robert Clouch on the outside looked every time I came to see him at first like he was almost dead. But there was never a time that I visited with Robert that I didn't feel more alive. Because inwardly, he had the treasure of the gospel. Outwardly, he was the most delicate jar of clay I may have ever met. But inside he had rivers of living waters. There was never a time that I went from Robert's house that I didn't feel better. A friend invited me and wanted me to go visit him who knew him. And I didn't want to go because he lived an hour away. You know, I didn't want to waste my time going and visit this guy. And especially because he could never join my church. And I heard about him. He wasn't anything special. He wouldn't look good to everybody else. But the person kind of, you know, I loved the person who was going, so I went to visit Robert. When I first saw him, I said, yeah, I'm sorry for you, Robert, but... And then after a while, my heart began to melt. Because Robert would never let me go without grabbing me and say, Pastor, I want to pray for you. Because I know how hard it is to be a pastor. And I think most every time, I had to listen very carefully to Robert, because when you have muscular dystrophy, you can no longer breathe very well. You have to get your breath, so it would be, And he had memorized the scripture, and I can't remember a time when I left that he didn't repeat it. Pastor, we do not lose heart, though our outer life is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed every day.
momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal way of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for they are transient. But the things that are seen are eternal.
Robert was a broken shell of a man, but he was kept by God. Brothers, it will not be kept unless you look to the one who's eternal, who will raise you up to be with him. As our brother Paul looked to him, let us look to him together. Our Father and God, we rebel against being these earthenware vessels. We want to be beautiful pots that people admire, pay much to and for. And we rebel. We thank you that only as we are seen as jars of clay, that through the pressures of the ministry and the cracks of life that we share with the sheep, that they will see breaking forth the light of Christ, the eternal one. And may it be that we tell them that we are kept because of him, and that they would see even Jesus shining forth through us. For his glory, we pray. Amen.